It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Yesterday, my sister texted a comment on a picture Troy and Victoria had posted. "Love this expression on Orhan," she said, "of a shot of our flock weather, Orhan the Second." Interpreting the expressions on animals' faces is always a tricky business. While I agreed that I loved the picture, and I perceived that anyone looking at him would find him entirely lovable, I also couldn't help but read into his facial expression that she loved something of a lost feeling, an uncertainty about the future that carried with it considerable trepidation. To understand the immediate circumstance giving rise to the image, you have to understand a bit who Orhan is. He's the designated successor to our only previous flock weather, also named Orhan. Orhan the First was half of a set of twins, the first lambs born on the property. He was partially bottle-fed because his mother had inadequate milk for two lambs and often kicked him away from her udder. Orhan I became understandably attached to us as the source of his food, and we to him as the source of unmitigated devotion. Because he was castrated, therefore a wether, we could keep him without fear of inbreeding and without concern about rivalry with whatever ram happened to be rotating through our flock at any given time. The advantage of a wether like Orhan was that he was bonded to us in ways that enabled us to control his behavior somewhat better than other flock members. Because we could get him to go where we wanted him to, he could start movements that led the rest of the flock to follow, so he served as something of a natural leader. It's a time-honored tradition to use wethers in such flock leadership roles. Put a bell around his neck, and he becomes a bellwether, an expression which entirely makes sense once you understand its origin. Orhan was with us for about 15 years until his death. When he died, Peter and I discussed replacing him with another similar flock leader. Serendipitously, along came Orhan the Second. This Orhan was not a bottle-fed lamb. He was more than adequately nourished by his mother, and he grew large quickly. But he bore a physical resemblance to Orhan the First, particularly in wool color, and he was also incredibly personable. He came over to be petted, and though to a lesser extent than Orhan the First, he hung out with us sometimes in the barn. We elected him the new flock wether, meaning he would not go off to market, and honored him with Orhan's name. Last spring, a new generation of lambs was born, and recently Orhan started to perform one of the wether leadership functions he was selected for. A couple of months ago, Troy and Victoria isolated all the younger male lambs destined for market in a pasture to the northeast of the barn, and they placed Orhan the Second with them to serve as leader and manager. This week, those 11 lambs did go off to market. Perhaps some of the expression on Orhan's face reflects the sudden dislocation he experienced as his companions of the last few months suddenly disappeared. Now he must reintegrate into the rest of the flock. There's a hint of bewilderment in his eyes. But there's also a larger context to be considered as well. Perhaps Orhan could be concerned with the larger threat to the continued existence of sheep. This week, the New York Times published a full-section supplement on how to eat to combat climate change. It was called "Your Questions About Food and Climate Change Answered." It followed on reports from such organizations as the UN Environmental Program, whose 2018 annual report points out that agriculture accounts for a huge proportion, perhaps a third, of human environmental impact, that a big part of the problem is overconsumption of meats by rich countries, and that of all the meats one might eat, beef and lamb result in the greatest impact on the environment. Beef and lamb require far more resources to produce a unit of protein than pork or chicken. Tropical rainforests have been destroyed to create grazing land for cattle on a large scale, accelerating. And the gaseous stomachs of ruminants like cows and sheep produce methane, a damaging greenhouse gas, in significant quantities. No wonder Orhan might get the feeling that his very existence is in the crosshairs. Animals like cows and sheep were not species that ever existed in nature. They were selectively bred by humans to serve human purposes, and if no longer raised for food, they would have neither purpose nor capacity to survive in a non-domesticated state. Each time one of these reports comes out, I find myself rushing to the defense of my beloved sheep. They have only half the impact on resources that cows do, and their methane creation is lower. Their methane creation is lower still if grain is only a small part of their diet. In this region, we're not destroying valuable rainforests in order to graze animals. Further, I'm firmly of the impression that many of the environmental benefits that come with raising sheep don't get computed into the balance sheet of environmental impact. Soon we'll be moving our young yewlings to the front yard for the summer and the fall. There, they will graze the lawn and nearly eliminate the need to use a gasoline-powered lawnmower to cut the grass. I don't see those gasoline savings figured anywhere in the environmental impact estimates. And their fleeces, when shorn, become felt and yarn, creating garments and rugs and insulating materials that might otherwise be made of petrochemical fibers, another unaccounted-for benefit. And as I've previously written, the compost made from their manure is a valuable natural fertilizer, also substituting for petrochemicals. Indeed, that compost, if spread thickly on pastures, may vastly improve the use of pastures as carbon absorbers, a huge environmental benefit. So far, few organizations or scientists are advocating the complete elimination of sheep as a species. They simply say we should reduce our consumption of lamb. Indeed, substituting lamb for beef would substantially reduce the environmental impact of red meat eating, while retaining the nutritional benefits. I think there will be place for lamb in the foreseeable future. I wonder, if I reassure Orhan with those facts, whether the expression on his face will change.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.